We know it has been a busy, busy week in the North Carolina General Assembly right down the road in Raleigh. And joining me now in the studio to talk a little bit more about what has been the latest in there is North Carolina House Representative Alan Boyancy, who is the District 56 representative covering Chapel Hill and Carrboro. Alan, welcome back to 97.9 The Hill. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me, Brighton. It's good to be here, and always great to give updates to our folks.
Absolutely. Well, there is certainly a lot to chat about. Let's start with what has been the top story of the week and what we know had been brewing for a long time, which was the kind of showdown over abortion restrictions. There was a law passed earlier this week after the governor's veto was overridden. So North Carolina's new law makes it so nearly all abortions after 12 weeks are against the law, scaling it down from 20 weeks. And of course, you voted against that measure and then voted against overriding the governor's veto. Since then, and even before that happened, Representative Boyancy, what were you hearing from your constituents and from North Carolinians on this issue, and kind of how are they feeling today?
Yeah, well, first off, the process that was used to get that bill through, so this is going back a couple of weeks now, but the bill was announced at a press conference on a Tuesday night. The bill was then made available to the public late that night, 11 o'clock that Tuesday night. And then, less than 24 hours after it was actually made available to the public, the State House took a vote on it. Heard a lot from folks about how non-transparent and anti-democratic that process was. That bill did not go through the normal process that a bill goes through, where it's filed, it has to go through the relevant committees, and folks actually have a chance to have their say during public comment at those committee meetings. This bill did not have a chance to go through any of that. And then also, Republicans did not meet with any Democrats beforehand. And as a matter of fact, there were some Republican legislators who actually didn't know that that particular bill was coming. So in terms of the confidence that our folks in our district and really from across North Carolina have in the legislature, it definitely took a huge hit that week. And it's taken a huge hit even this week as well, given how expedited a timeline that bill went through from the date that it was filed to the governor's veto to the veto override that happened this past week. So a lot of folks are understandably upset. A lot of folks are very disappointed that that process was used, but even more so that it was used for such a consequential bill. I mean, this bill is going to hurt people. It's going to lead to deaths. It's going to lead to the decline of our maternal health care. The evidence has clearly shown that in states that have issued these kinds of bans, there's been a noticeable decline in the quality of maternal health care. And so because of all of that, you know, folks are understandably upset. And, you know, every single one of us Democrats voted against the bill, a couple weeks ago when it came to the floor, and every one of us Democrats also voted to sustain the governor's veto, just looking out for the health of our North Carolinians, but also, you know, really looking out for that choice that a woman should have to make about their own body and about their own health. And it was just a dark day in North Carolina's history when that bill passed.
Along the topic of how the parties voted, of course, it went along party lines, as did the veto override. Mm-hmm. And when it came to the veto override, I'm curious, what is running through your head in those kind of 2 days between the governor's veto on Saturday and when the veto override votes were held? Because, yep. You know, everything had been passing along party lines. Mm-hmm. It's maybe no surprise in that way, but all that was needed was one vote. So as a lawmaker, what's running through a lawmaker, I should say, in the super minority, what's running through your mind during those couple of days before the veto override?
Sure. Well, what's going through my mind is that I hope that there are more folks that can do the right thing. You know, doing the right thing takes courage. It takes a conviction and knowing that this is what the people of North Carolina want. And certainly I was hopeful that, you know, we could get some votes from the other side to sustain the governor's veto. Now, the reality was that in the first place, that bill passed on party lines. So the chances of someone flipping on the veto override were low. But I was certainly hopeful and You know, my wife calls me just an everlasting optimist, and I'm always going to hope for the best in situations. But, you know, certainly that was a tough road to hoe. And I know that folks in this district and outside our district and the home districts of some Republican legislators, I know folks did their best to lobby their own legislators to do the right thing. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. But that just goes to show that elections have consequences. And so I'm hoping that the energy, the passion, the anger that folks have, you know, we can channel that in the appropriate way so that we can get some more folks who will do the right thing.
We're speaking with Representative Alan Buoyancy of District 56, and I also consider myself to be in kind of that, like, relentless optimism camp as well, but I know that a lot of folks are feeling really downtrodden, especially locally, and a lot of folks, as you mentioned, threatened by this new law. In addition to kind of preparation for 2024 and that, as we know, critical election cycle, what is your message to folks who are feeling that way right now as a lawmaker?
Absolutely. Well, my message is that, you know, we're not in good times right now. North Carolina is going backward on a lot of different fronts, not just with respect to abortion access and health care, but also with respect to our public schools, with respect to just investment in our public institutions, including our election systems. Things are not looking good right now. I understand that. I get it. But the thing that keeps me going, and I think the thing that should keep all of us going, is that we have been through tough times before. I think back to the great leaders of the past, like Dr. King, like Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, like Congresswoman Shirley Chisholm, Thurgood Marshall. These are folks that had enormous odds in fighting for the right thing and fighting for justice for everyone. And we owe it to them. We owe it to the people who have fought before us to continue to fight for not just ourselves, but for our children, for our grandchildren. And so I would just encourage folks, you know, we might have gotten kicked in the teeth this week, but we got to get back up. We got to keep fighting. And we really have to use our energy, our resources, and our passion for 2024.
Well, the abortion law and reproductive health, certainly kind of the top story coming from Raleigh, but there is plenty of other action that has been happening. And since we, you know, this is a broader legislative update, I want to move on. Budget season fully underway, not just at the state level, but also at the also the federal and the local level, too. The Senate passed its budget on Thursday. The House had already passed its for a while. I know, again, largely along party lines when it comes to that kind of thing. But what are your expectations now that the Senate budget has passed as we kind of get into this this compromise season, I think it's fair to say, as those two sides start hammering it out? What are your expectations, and are there any priorities that you hope to, you know, really see stressed in the final budget package that will eventually emerge?
Right. Great question. So, you know, just kind of technically speaking, the process at this point, as you said, State House has passed its budget. The State Senate has just passed their budget this week. And so what will happen now is that there's going to be a conference committee that's appointed by both the Senate President Pro Tem, Senator Phil Berger, and then the Speaker of the House, Tim Moore. There will be a conference committee consisting of a few state senators, a few state House representatives who will hammer out the differences. They'll get to some agreement at some point on, you know, what budget they actually want to agree upon. And then the final product of that will then go back to each the state Senate and the state House in the form of a conference report that will not have the ability to be amended or changed, but will be presented for a straight vote in both chambers. So that's the next step in that regard. I mean, my hope is that we invest more in our public education. You know, I know something that has been talked about a lot over the past decade plus is the pay for our teachers. It's really not where it should be. Still ranks in the bottom half on average in the country. And I'm hoping that we get some more significant raises for teachers. I know that in the state House budget, there was a 10% raise, but even a 10% raise is not going to be enough to keep up with inflation. And in real dollars, it actually would amount to somewhat of a cut.
And then the Senate one is even lower than that as
that's
well.
Right.
Yeah.
Correct. Correct. You know, not to mention our state employees and retirees. They are in bad need of a cost of living adjustment increase that they have not gotten in many years. And the one that was included, I know in the State House budget, you know, is really not much. I think 1% in each of the next 2 years of the biennium. That comes after years of not even having a COLA increase. So we need to do a better job, and I'm hoping that we get something in this conference report that reflects, you know, what the need is. I think I talked generally about public schools teachers, but you know, we've also got a great need for school infrastructure repair. I think the last estimate that I saw said that there were about $13 billion in needed school repairs across the state, and we have not devoted any significant amount of money towards that. And so I'm hoping that the conference report, you know, can actually devote more significant funds and investment in that regard so that our children are learning in safe environments, so that we are investing in our future. So, but we'll see. We'll see ultimately what happens.
Long road ahead, and it is tough to be in the minority party in this case, since there's not a whole lot of sway. But I know that those are issues that have been talked about long before this budget session and the end season, and likely will continue. But it does seem like perhaps we will see some progress there. We're speaking with Alan Boyncy, who's the District 56 representative in the North Carolina House, covering Chapel Hill and Carrboro with that district. And we've got a couple of minutes left, so I wanted to bring up something from our district specifically. I saw this from the North Carolina Botanical Garden that you sponsored House Bill 734. That is a measure to have a new specialty license plate in North Carolina for drivers. Can you tell us a little bit more about what that plate is? It sounds like it's had an interesting journey. And how did this come to your attention?
Sure. So the Venus Flytrap Special Registration Plate, this was actually part of a bill that was introduced a couple of years ago by my predecessor, Representative Rilla Insko. And I remember that bill had actually been rolled into a larger bill with other special registration plates. That bill, I think, contained at least three or four other plates. It passed the State House unanimously a couple of years ago, but it didn't go anywhere in the Senate. And so, you know, wanted to take it up again this session, and was able to get two Republican folks to join me on the bill, as well as another Democrat. And the bill passed as a standalone bill, and was very proud of that happening. And I'm very thankful for Damon Waite and the North Carolina Botanical Gardens for, you know, pushing for it. So it did pass unanimously right on the last day of crossover, I think 112-0. And now it goes back over again to the state Senate. And so, I'm hopeful that the state Senate will take it up. And certainly I'll do whatever I can to try to get it over the finish line. But I'm hoping if we can do that, we can see some plates around town pretty soon.
Did you ever envision that you would be introducing something involving license plates in North Carolina? And my of course, I feel like it's the natural follow-up. Would you get a Venus flytrap license plate yourself?
Yeah, great question. So, yeah, I didn't imagine that this would be the first bill for me, but it is what it is, and I'm very, very proud to put it forward. It's something that would actually really help in a tangible way. It would help with researching and, you know, the preservation of the Venus flytrap, which is a plant native to North Carolina. This is one of the very few places where it actually grows, and so yeah, I'm proud to put it forward, and no, I did not think it would be my first bill, but it is, and I'm proud of that. To your other question, so I actually was having a conversation with my wife, and my wife said yes, she would definitely get the plate for
all
her.
All right.
Car. Yes, so yeah, it would definitely be one of our cars.
There you go. I mean, listen, not that many people can say that their first bill introduced passes unanimously, so. Mm-hmm. You've got that going for you. I mean, that's pretty neat. That could be a lasting legacy right there.
Well, thank you. I'm just thankful for the collaboration with my Republican colleagues. That's really what made it happen. So, it's a team effort.
We'll find out its fate at some point in the Senate, and hopefully when we have you back for your next legislative update, we'll maybe have some progress on that plate. And
hope
we appreciate
so.
You taking some time and visiting us here in the studio. Absolutely. Representative Alan Boyncy, we'll talk with you again soon.
Thank you so much.